Good morning. Welcome to Daily Sabbath. It's great to see you here this morning. A special welcome to those of you who are first-year students, to those of you who are visiting campus, or for those of you for whom this is your first time at Daily Sabbath. Through the course of any given week here, we gather at 10 a.m. for a variety of practices that help us pause, rest, and reflect in the midst of our full and fruitful schedules. Many of these liturgies are rooted in the Christian tradition, and others allow us to learn about and experience the wisdom of other religions and perspectives. On Tuesdays this semester, we gather for interfaith observances and contemplative practices from a variety of traditions. Today, we welcome Will Freer, Professor Emeritus at Gustavus, who will lead us in a guided meditation practice. Will.
Arthur Zients was a physicist at Amherst University and Amherst College, and is now the president of the Mind and Life Institute, which runs periodic biannual conferences with the Dalai Lama and scientists. He's also been the director or inspiration behind the Center for Contemplative Mind, which runs a lot of workshops and retreats and seminars for academics and for other professionals. And they're really responsible for the huge number of college professors around the country who use meditation in their classrooms. Zients's book is called Meditation as Contemplative Inquiry When Knowledge Leads to Love. Subtitle, I think, is more important than the title. And so this will be a guided meditation that comes out of Zients's ideas. Nicholas of Cusa was a mathematician in the Renaissance and a diplomat and a cardinal and a very, very busy man, but in all of his travels, he kept for himself a hermit's cell at a Benedictine abbey so that he could retreat there periodically. And so meditation should be our hermit's cell, our place where we can go to be in silence and to experience the divine in quiet. Thomas A. Kempis was a spiritual writer from the late Middle Ages who said that we should learn to despise outward things and to give ourselves to inward things. But what a modern version of Thomas A. Kempis would interpret that to mean is that we should discover the sacred, the inner things, in the outer things, in the secular. So when we meditate, we second most important thing is posture. And so in meditation, they always advise that one sit straight, sit up straight so that your spine is straight and that you can be aware and alert. Meditation is about being awake. Wake up. Being awake. And so we keep our spine straight and we keep our, if we are seated on a bench, we keep our feet flat on the floor, and we have our sternum kind of extended so that our lungs can get as much air as possible, because that's the first most important thing about meditation, is breathing. And so let's just pause and focus on our breath. So I'll begin the meditation with three rings of the tinksha, and I will end it with three rings. Science says that the first step in any meditation is humility. It's the gate through which we pass in contemplation. Humility comes from the realization that we are not ourselves. There is no myself here, independent of everyone else. There is no self without our parents who created us. There is no I without those who raised us. There is no I without those who prepare our food. There is no I without those we love. We do not exist independently. Realizing that we are not independent, that we are not alone, fills us with a sense of awe, a sense of wonder. The wonder that fills a mother's heart after she has given birth. That love that your mother felt, despite all the pain, after she gave birth to you. That love is one instance of the love of the universe that embraces you and holds you. The love of the universe that holds us in its arms leads us to wonder, to awe, and to the path of reverence, the path of surrender to the reality that we are such a small part of. When Martin Luther King's home was bombed, He raced home to find that his family was safe and the front part of his house was destroyed, but that his neighbors had gathered and there was a lot of anger and people were anxious to riot and to take some vengeance for what had been done to Dr. King in his house. And he told them that what we are taught to do is love our enemies. There is no question of what is right and what is wrong, but our response to every action should be compassionate understanding. And that compassionate understanding, that love, leads us to a sense of our own inner well-being. The sense of awe and wonder leads to the birth of the silent self, the not I. There is no I. This is an insight that many world religions share. In Buddhism, it is the idea of no self, Buddha nature. In Christianity, it is the idea expressed by St. Paul in the Greek word kenosis. The divine emptied himself of divinity to die as a human being. Not I, but Christ in me, in St. Paul's words. The divine presence lives within us. And so, meditating on the true nature of things, we understand that it is not about me. Gnothi sautan, know yourself, the ancient Greeks advised. And that self does not exist independently of every other self and of every other molecule in the universe. And so in our inner life, in our thoughts and in our feelings and in our intentions, we realize there is no I, there is only we. Emerson, the American transcendentalist writer, talks about the universal in me. In Buddhism, there is a myth of Indra, the Hindu god, that has a net. And at every place where the strings of the net touch, there is a diamond. And in every diamond, there is a reflection of every other diamond in the net. In every molecule, there is a reflection of every other molecule in the universe. In every diamond is the divine presence. So as we go about our day, we attempt to journey with the sense of the divine presence and to be of service, to radiate that presence to all we encounter in every context, no matter how difficult. And closing meditation, Professor Zion says, always ends with gratitude. Meditation always leaves us with the need to say thank you. Gracias. Ευχαριστώ in Greek, from which we get our word Eucharist. And so we are grateful for the present moment. We are grateful for this year of our lives with all of its challenges and all of its excitement. We are grateful for the gifts of mind and body that enable us to be here at this place, in this sacred space. We're grateful for those sitting next to us, those who surround us, with whom we are on this journey. We're grateful for those who created us by their love. We're grateful for those who reared us with their love. We're grateful for those that we love. We are grateful for the air that surrounds us, for the food that nourishes us, for the sleep that enables our brains to process and our bodies to recharge. Grateful for the billions of synapses that make us conscious. We are grateful for the realization that all reality is a spontaneous gift, a gift we do not deserve, a free gift. It's all free. And we're grateful for the awareness that though I am nothing, I am one with all reality.